How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
The Supreme Court handed down several rulings last week, from universal injunctions to academic and religious freedom. We're diving right in. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Yesterday, we talked at length about the court's ruling on injunctions, but we also learned about another ruling. One that ruled in favor of religious parents who demanded that they have a choice to pull their children out of lessons that included topics such as same-sex marriage. The 6-3 decision, once again, split along ideological lines, reversed a lower court ruling that sided with the school system. So what does this mean for Illinois? We turn to Josh Lerner, an elementary school teacher at Pierce School of International Studies in Edgewater, for more. I asked Josh whether parents in Illinois have the option to opt their children out of lessons on moral or religious grounds. Here he is.
Well, I can certainly speak to the case here in Chicago Public Schools. The answer to that is really yes and no. The only place where CPS parents and guardians have the right to opt their children out is one particular narrowly defined curriculum sequence here in CPS, which is the sexual health education curriculum in K to 8. However, beyond that, students are really expected to take part in other curricula, specifically curricula that are relevant to topics designated in our Illinois inclusive curriculum law. And that includes topics related to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people and their contributions. And I really would encourage listeners to look at that law. It's really very important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if something like this were to come down, what would be the implications for public education teachers and the administrators?
I mean, I want to be clear that talking to my fellow educators and various parents of LGBTQ plus individuals, people are calling this court ruling, frankly, terrifying. What's really worrisome to us as educators and families is the chilling effect that this could have. Sure, some school leaders and districts, they'll slog through any administrative burden needed, and they'll be undaunted by, you know, fears of complaints or legal action. But if you think about those that won't, that schools will say, you know, this is too much. This is an undue burden on us. We're worried we might end up in some kind of hot water, or just the resources it'll take to be in constant communication with families. You know, what's going to happen in those districts and those schools is that people are going to start limiting their curriculum. They're going to start erasing the inclusion of LGBTQ plus identities. And frankly, that really exposes the hypocrisy of the whole thing. I mean, how do you even eliminate the lives and identities of LGBTQ plus community from what we teach? It's all connected. If I'm teaching the civil rights movement in middle school, do I now have to avoid chapters on Bayard Rustin? You know, if younger students, they do a lot in elementary school learning around the social science concept and standards of community and how is community defined. You know, moving forward, can that now only be defined according to certain identities? Certain types of people can be included within that concept. It's impossible to say really where this would stop. It's all connected, and that's what's so frightening about it.
Mm-hmm. You've been an educator for a long time, right, Josh?
Yeah, this will be my 17th year.
Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if you ever saw something like this coming to the classroom. Obviously, there's been a lot of, people within the LGBTQ community have been persecuted in many ways, and it's still happening today. But did you ever think it would touch the classroom in this way?
I didn't. I couldn't have predicted this when I started my career. I mean, we're trained as educators, and we work hard to be in solidarity with all members of our community and all members of our classroom. And we work really hard to set up inclusive spaces. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the most important, if not the most important job of an educator is to create classroom communities that value and respect all people. And in fact, that's one of the key roles of public education in our schools in general. So we do a lot to stand up for these things. And it's a sad day to see the highest court in the land coming down on something that would put that in jeopardy.
You mentioned how, you know, some of your CPS colleagues are feeling about this. Would you say the ruling gels with the current CTU contract?
No, not at all. I mean, one of the things I'm most proud of in our contract, as someone who along with many of my fellow members and coworkers, put a lot of work in, is something, an article that refers to something that, you know, we consider academic freedom. And we're close to 30,000 educators and represented by Chicago Teachers Union. And we value inclusive education such that we actually bargained for and won the right to use our professional judgment and expertise to teach these topics. You look at our labor agreement and you'll see everything from Black history to genocide, Holocaust studies, the disability rights movement, contributions from LGBTQ plus history and community. Mm-hmm. All of these things are written directly into our labor agreement, saying that we have the right and students have the right to learn about these things. So you can see where this might start to butt up against this ruling coming down, especially in cases where building leaders or school leaders might want to start limiting the content being taught. Yeah. But this academic freedom piece is something we're really proud of at CTU, and we'll keep fighting to protect it.
Well, given that language, Josh, I mean, if challenged, what does the CTU think that they could do?
I mean, we like I said, we worked tirelessly to ensure that this was in our contract.
Yeah.
Our contract is meant to be a force field of protection from things like this that we saw coming down in the Trump era. And because it's in our labor agreement, we will work with Chicago Public Schools and in any capacity we have with our tools as workers, as educators within a labor union to be able to protect these rights. Alongside just the mechanism we have within a union space, we're also always looking for ways to stand and represent communities of our students and families that are affected by these types of policies and rulings. And we're going to be looking for how to do that within our own school communities and in solidarity with any other schools across the state or country that are harmfully affected by this.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a parent of two children, I'm trying to imagine how this would play out in real time and what the dynamics in the classroom, just, you know, among the students could look like, right? My kids are friends with, you know, very mixed groups of children. And so, you know, my wonder is, you know, when some children are allowed to be excused from the class with relation to the books and things and subject matter that are being taught, what about the other kids who are remaining? Does that create some sort of tension between the two sets? Like, as an educator, are you thinking about that too?
Oh, it's one of the first things I thought of as a parent as well. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. I have two young children. Mm-hmm. We brought them to Pride this weekend. And, you know, I think about the students in the GSA or Gender Sexuality Alliance is one of the groups that I helped to facilitate along with some great coworkers at my school. And I can tell you that for these students and their allies and their peers, the GSA space is one of the highlights of their school experience. And it's great that we have it, but imagine you're one of those students and you go back to your classroom, and when a book that represents your identity, your humanity, your history is about to be read or discussed, a number of your classmates are told that it's their time to get up and leave the room for the lesson, and they'll only return when the lesson is over. And then if you think as a student, you know, how personal that can be, knowing that the highest court in the land is not only permitting this, but saying it's a fundamental right. I would just add, you know, we have a huge youth mental health crisis in this country. It's significantly scarier for mm-hmm. LGBTQ plus youth. So now we're looking at a situation where students are more likely to be in situations where they're, you know, going to be possibly made to feel different or something wrong or offensive about them.
Yeah. And what's the timeline on something like this? Could this change things next school year, like this fall, or are we looking at later on here?
I mean, from what I've seen so far since Friday, advocacy groups have come out saying, you know, this doesn't necessarily change anything in the short term. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of, over the years, a lot of positive work within Chicago Public Schools on representing this issue. So That's to be seen.
Yeah.
I know that we all have a lot of work to do. I mean, speaking personally as a straight cisgender man, I'll remain an ally, a champion for making sure that all students are going to feel safe and welcomed in our classroom, in our school. I'll look to, of course, members of the LGBTQ plus community to work alongside and be leaders in that space as well. But regardless of if the policy is enacted on day one, it's going to be felt on day one, and it's already being felt by families. So that's our goal, is to be in collaboration, solidarity with those folks.
Josh Lerner is an elementary school teacher at Pierce Schools of International Studies in Edgewater. Thank you for checking in with us.
Thanks so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Sienna Greaves. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Micah Yasin. Reset brings you conversations on today's pressing issues. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset to stay connected. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.